Straight to the Center Circle studio. Tim Van Horn goes studs up into the soccer world where no one is safe. The 18-yard box is wall-free. This is My Three Subs Podcast, a soccer odyssey with your manager, Tim Van Horn.
They must have used brawny paper towels because the mess has been cleaned up.
Finally, and maybe it was because Dad had something to say about it, but, you know, we'll dive into a little bit of the messy saga as we now know where he is going to be.
Thanks to a little fun outside the bubble, two English careers have been put on ice in Iceland. We'll tell you who's the guilty parties. And then plus, we're going to take a look at some of the national team legends that are up for the Hall of Fame induction. Who's in? Who's out? All that, plus 901 FC, Nashville SC, and we got a special guest this week.
That's right. The one, the only, the Memphis Giant when it comes to entertainment, that is Devin Steele, is coming in the studio to talk about some kits, too. I don't know if you knew this, Tim, but his kits, that's what I want to talk to him about. Ew.
I could go for that because we could use some nice ultimates. Let's be honest about that. In the meantime, Brody and I are in our home kit. Shin guards ready to go. Boots laced up. We're in the hallway heading to the Center Circle studio. This is My Three Subs.
We'll be back with today's kickoff from the Center Circle studios. This is My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey.
Hey, it's Tim. Just reminding you, this podcast is now powered by Podcave, the complete toolkit for podcasters. Brody and I want all of our time going into making the podcast as entertaining and as interesting as possible for you. So that's why we ditched our old services, made the switch over to Podcave. This is the complete podcast management, combining all the tools we need to make the best shows we can, to make them available on all the platforms you use, and to always stay connected with you. Podcave provides unlimited audio storage, so all our episodes, new and the old ones, are always available whenever you want them. And our website, it's included and built into Podcave, so you always have a place to find us. It's that easy. Music and soundscapes we use on the show are professionally made and fully licensed by Podcave. We get email and text management tools to stay in touch with you, guest booking tools, episode planning tools. Podcave even includes customizable news feeds so that we can stay on top of the latest headlines with Podcave. It's all in one place, and it's all inclusive for just $49 a month. That's right, $49 a month. Podcave, the complete toolkit for podcasters. Save time and money with your first or next podcast. Don't be afraid. Give it a try. Use Podcave. That's podcave.com. That's P-O-D-C-A-V-E, podcave.com.
This is My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey. We're underway from the Center Circle studios.
Well, color me surprised, but Messi's going to stay at Barca.
I did not see this coming. I know his dad wanted him to stay at Barca, you know, and come on, that had to have been a huge influence, you know, but that Barca's not willing to come off the free transfer and all this other stuff, and I mean, it'll be a done deal next year, right?
They were only about $500 million apart. I mean, we're splitting hairs here, Brody.
B with a B. I mean, goodness gracious. Yeah, but I firmly suspect, you know, he'll have a good run at Barca this year, and it'll be fine after he gets through all the COVID testing, and he'll be back on the pitch with Barca. But after this year, though, we're doing it all over again, Tim.
When they showed the footage of him in training, I thought it was business as usual because I've never really seen him work out with his teammates anyway.
No.
He's dribbling around the cones, you know, the pylons. It's like, oh, he's in isolation? I didn't know.
I did not know that.
I didn't know he played with his teammates in practice.
Right. So, you know, all of that speculation and all that other stuff, all for naught.
Let's talk about England a little bit. What about the England national team and two guys who totally screwed the pooch at a terrific opportunity to make a name for themselves in Nations League? Phil Foden and Mason Greenwood. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't.
Okay, so I believe they were in Iceland over the weekend.
Okay.
And
which Iceland is nice, Greenland is icy, something like that.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Well, obviously with teams, they have their own little traveling bubble that they're with.
Sure.
Apparently these two guys thought that maybe the ladies that they met up with could be a part of the bubble, and they were caught breaking quarantine.
Come on, man. Come on, man.
You know, and I understand that with, you know, David Silva leaving, that Phil Foden wanted to pick up the scoring, but you don't do it that way.
Yeah, no. Come on, man. Bubbles. Never mind.
Yeah.
I could have gone a different way.
Mason Greenwood, of course, a rising star at Manchester United. Phil Foden, rising star at Manchester City.
Yeah.
Of course, more people may be afraid or angered by the fact that the two Manchester City clubs were co-mingling.
Yeah.
I think that might have been the bigger crime.
Yeah, that's the bigger headline there.
But Nations League's going on, and I really haven't watched much of it.
I'm going to be honest with you. I saw it on, and I was like, okay. I honestly, Tim, at this point, I kind of need a break. I can't believe I'm saying it.
We do. It's not, you know, we love soccer.
And it was soccer every day.
I know it's a little bit of a credibility killer when you say, oh, I don't want to watch any soccer when you have a soccer podcast.
Right, I know.
But when you have soccer on pretty much every day from leagues around the world, you do have to take a bit of a breather. And let's be honest, the Nations League is...
Yeah. Boy, they are tedious.
Yeah. Trades swirling around, rumors swirling around in the Premier League and in other places. Gareth Bale is not going to go anywhere at this point.
No.
He is. It's so weird because he played 45 minutes for Wales, but he hasn't played for his club in almost a year. He has not set foot on the pitch for Real Madrid. But Ryan Giggs, the manager for Wales, says, listen, you're a star. You will play here, not as in like punishment,
right?
But I think Gareth Bale actually enjoys it. It's almost like a golf outing for him, because Wales isn't going to really win anything,
right?
But it gives him a chance to run out and represent his country and say, screw you, Real, I'm going to play for them. You know, I may not be playing for you, but I'm going to go have some fun.
Well, you know, and I think it's a little bit of a defensive strategy for Real Madrid, a little bit, you know, where he doesn't go anywhere, so he's not playing for the opposition. And he might not be playing for us either, but at least he's not playing for them.
Yeah. Gareth close to 30 now? I mean, he's getting, you know, at some point, I would think he's going to regret when he looks back at not pushing harder to get away. I mean, his wage bill is like 600, was it 600,000 a week or something that he's making, and he's not even playing.
Tough life, Tim. It's just a tough life.
And it may be great now. I mean, money's not an issue for him. I mean, it's not an issue at all. But I do think 10 years from now,
he's going to wish he played.
He regrets it. He's going to regret it.
Yeah.
I think he's absolutely going to regret it. In France, Kylian Mbappe, I believe, tested positive for COVID.
Yes.
So he's got to take a little bit of a break there. I'm surprised he hasn't been on the move yet. I thought he would maybe go somewhere else in
Europe.
You
know, I think initially that if we were to have this discussion at the beginning in the season of gone full tilt, we didn't have the break and everything, we might be talking about that. But I think the break allowed a lot of teams to sit there and really evaluate mid-season who's doing what, where, and how.
Yeah.
And almost willing to give second chances at that point as well. So, you know, not a lot of moves, you know, that we thought might happen. You know, look at Aubameyang. You know, he was gone. They're not going to pay him. Then there it is, money.
Which I thought was interesting, because money's not a certainty with clubs right now.
No.
I mean, if you don't have fans, if you know, really the teams that are laden with sponsorships are the ones that are going to be okay. I mean, sure. Arsenal's going to be fine because they've got plenty of you know, and they got plenty of financing from sponsorships and everything. But for Arsenal, I mean, they're going to be in Europe this year. They'll be in the Europa League. Is Europa enough, you think, next year too? I mean, can they make up ground at this point? I mean,
I would think so. You know, and just because it is Europa League, you know, where you're going to get the big title sponsors to come in, hell or high water, you know, just because of what it is. So, I mean, and they might distribute that money accordingly, and they might bump up the price even, and those big title sponsors are going to pay it.
It'll be interesting to see how much of a leash that Arteta gets if he doesn't. One, Arsenal have been historically long leashed with their managers.
Sure.
They've given them the benefit of the doubt. But secondly, he has maybe bought him some time because he's 2 for 2 in huge matches.
Yeah.
He's won the FA Cup. He's won the... Well, okay, Community Shields maybe... You know what? It is a big deal to those who have won it.
Right.
So he's 2 for 2 in matches where silverware was up. So he's got 2 pieces in the span of a couple of months.
Yeah.
So you know, good for him. But you know, we'll see. They've got some leapfrogging to do. And, you know, does Leicester City, you know, refortify itself. But as we look higher up the table, is Liverpool going to make a move? It's been quite some time since we've seen them splash any kind of cash or make any significant move.
You know, and that's the weird thing right now is how quiet Liverpool has been. They seem to be fine with how things were, you know, and why not? You won, 6 weeks before the season was really over. So would you be fine? Yes, but also, are you at this point complacent?
Here's their rationale, I bet. If I'm a Liverpool fan, I'm thinking, you know, we won the league by 18 points. We've got plenty of margin for error. But if you look back at some of their wins, they won the championship going away. It was pretty much done by Christmas. They didn't look too hot coming back. They haven't looked all that great yet.
Yeah.
And some of those wins last year, and you need luck, they got some fortunate bounces last year that gave them a larger cushion. And if you look back at some of the big teams of Manchester United, if you look at Chelsea's dominant run,
even look at Man City's.
Even at Man City, they typically did not sit still. You saw maybe a good base of players who kept returning, but you would start to see different names dotting that starting 11 or hitting that match day 18. I mean, even with, Gary Neville, Rio Ferdinand, Vidic, and then it could have been Patrice Evra back there. It could have been Raphael playing defense back there. You could see different midfielders that would shift in there once Roy Keane was gone. You saw Michael Carrick come in. Paul Scholes was a mainstay. But then you'd see Ronaldo. Once Ronaldo was gone, you saw Nani. But they were able to maintain continuity. But there was change. But Liverpool, and I know it's short term. I know it's only been a couple of years. They had the Champions League final. And then they won the Champions League. And then this year they won the Premier League. But we haven't seen anything in a big move, and maybe it's not necessary, but I guess that's going to, it looks like unless they make a move, it's going to be put to the test this year.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the thing is like you could argue, well, they play as a club. It takes 11 guys to win. Okay, I get that. I understand. And they play it really well where they play with all 11. But at that in the same breath, you can say, but it takes star power to make it happen, you know, and to win the big matches and things like that. You know, obviously, Liverpool didn't really need it. They got the bulk of the win. But, you know, you look at the Liverpool-Arsenal game, and then and you look at a couple of these other big matches where Man City-Liverpool game and stuff like that. You know, you had the big stars make big plays, and that's what they can afford you. Not saying Liverpool doesn't have big stars. I'm just saying when you don't make moves to shake things up, it starts to look complacent, you know. So
Everton seems to be making a couple of quality moves. They're trying to push into a European spot. James Rodriguez, remember him from Real Madrid? He's now with Everton. They've now it looks like they're going to get Fikayo Tomori from Chelsea on loan.
Chelsea's made a lot of moves.
Chelsea's made a lot of moves as well, picking up Werner.
Yeah.
And then I think they splashed close to $90 million on Kai Havertz. Like he's back. He's back on the pitch. He's with his new team for the first time.
Wearing those new numbers, Comic Sans numbers over at Chelsea. I hate those numbers. Sorry.
Havertz is 21 years old, the German international, and
wearing Comic Sans on his jersey.
Oh, that big number 3, on the front. And of course, being that young, you know, at some point, the talk will be, well, when does he go to Barcelona or Real Madrid? Right. I mean, isn't that always how it happens?
How it works out. Maybe he'll replace Messi over at Barca.
Ooh, that would have to be next year, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you suspect?
I mean, it doesn't give him much time.
And if that's the case, then that means Pep probably is going to stay at Manchester City for at least this year and the following year to give a run at Messi.
Yeah. I would.
I can't see Messi going to Manchester City unless it is a manager with whom he's extremely comfortable with. Exhibit 1A would obviously be Pep Guardiola.
Yeah, sure. But could you? I could see him in a Chelsea jersey, Messi. Probably because the Argentinian blue and the Chelsea blue are kind of bleeding in my mind a little bit.
Totally different shades, though.
Oh, no, it's totally different shades.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, the blue's a blue.
But that Manchester City blue's closer to an Argentinian blue.
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
Yeah. That sky blue, powder blue.
Yeah.
But before then, he's got another year under manager Ronald Koeman, the the Dutch coach, who was also a Barcelona playing legend back in the day, who helped them win a European Cup, which of course is now the Champions League. Yeah. But there is actually one gentleman that's running for president of the club. Part of his platform is that if he wins, Koeman goes at the end of this season. He hasn't even managed a game yet.
Dang. Come on, man.
It's like, dude.
Come on, man.
I mean, you bringing Pep back?
Jeez.
And maybe that's the goal.
I'm
bringing Pep back so Messi stays.
Yeah.
That could be the move. It could be the way to go. Congratulations to Carlos Bocanegra.
Yeah.
The fullback, United States international, who served as captain of, I believe, the 2010 World Cup for USA.
That was a good one.
Not only that, but of course, he spent plenty of time over in Europe. I got to see him personally play for Fulham, mm-hmm. among many other clubs. But he was the only one to get the two-thirds vote to get into the Hall of Fame this time. Steve Tarundolo fell short. Hope Solo was on the ballot for the first time. She fell short, which...
It's the social things with her. It's the off the field.
I know, because I mean, she's been in several World Cups. She's got the championships. Yeah. Considered the greatest, maybe the greatest women's goalkeeper in the history of the game.
Period.
End of sentence. No caveats.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So there's been some off the field brushes with the law, and there's been calling Sweden cowards, which may or may not be true for parking the bus.
Chirp, chirp, chirp for me.
But for me. I think it's great that she didn't make the Hall of Fame because it plays right into her persona of being the outcast, being the outlaw. So for her, I think this only grows her legend that she didn't get in this year.
Yeah.
Does she deserve to be in now? Oh, absolutely she does.
Hands down.
Absolutely
she does. No question about it.
You know, she ran for president of U.S. soccer, didn't get that.
Didn't get that, right.
She's pissed off just enough people to not get, she got, I think, the same number of votes as Tarundolo did. They both deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. Maybe they're the class of 2021, perhaps.
Come on. Hope Solo definitely deserves in.
Yeah. Now, if she had gotten in, it would have been great, but yes.
I think you're right. It totally plays in the persona.
It grows her aura even more.
Yeah.
I would think if I'm her, she's like, thank you, guys. This just proves my point even further.
Exactly.
So congratulations to Carlos Bocanegra. He's technical director at Atlanta United, so he's still very much sleeves rolled up into the game. American legend. Thrilled that he has gotten his just desserts for being inducted. Now, the induction ceremony won't be until next year in Frisco, because they canceled this year's because of, the plague and all.
So they're going to do 2020 and 2021 at the same time?
Yes.
Could you imagine Hope Solo gets in this time, too, and so she can, talk to the people who didn't vote her in the last year at that ceremony?
It's like, hey, you jackasses. I still get inducted on the same day. Screw you guys.
That's so great. Tim, we mentioned not watching the world soccer, but we have had eyes on what's happening locally.
Yeah.
In the USL, namely with Group G. With Birmingham Legion leading right now. And this is a right now scenario where Birmingham Legion is sitting on top of the group somewhat comfortably.
Yes,
what is it, 17 points, 19
points? They're sitting up there fairly comfortably, but after last week, they have not clinched Group G. For them, they still have 4 matches to go. They've got 22 points on 12 matches.
Yeah.
So they can top out at 34 points. Charlotte Independence is sitting in second with 18. They have 5 matches to go. They can top out at 33. So actually, Charlotte or Birmingham are really looking good at this point. Now, North Carolina sits at 10 with 3 games in hand on Birmingham. But 2 of those matches come this week against 901 FC,
right,
who sits in 4th with 7 points. So you look at Charlotte and Birmingham, and they can basically kind of dance their way to the 1 and 2 spot if they don't get crazy and start dropping massive amounts of points. Birmingham had a loss last week.
Right.
And then they didn't earn a point against Memphis last week. They got a point against Memphis after Memphis took the lead on that beautiful chip shot by Keanu Marsh-Brown. Reminded me, the assist came from Tommy McCabe, the new guy that's on loan from FC Cincinnati.
Right.
His lob came in from the left side. Keanu brings it down, lobs the goalkeeper. and they take a 1-0 lead before the end of the first half is over. And then it's early second half.
Early second half.
Kofi fouls a Birmingham player about a half yard outside the box.
I want to say it was in that 60th minute.
Yeah, it sounds about right. Yeah, it's close enough. I don't think they'd really gone into substitutions yet.
No.
It was right about that time. But apparently, I guess the new laws with IFAB are not where you make the contact, but it's where the offended player flies and lands.
Yes.
So
when you take a dive, make sure that you at least go 5 yards towards the goal.
So the assistant referee is close to the play, says no.
No, it's right in front of him.
In the box.
I mean, close.
Yeah.
I mean, it was under his nose.
Call the penalty. It's buried. Tim Howard, no chance. It was a beautiful penalty. It ends up one apiece. Memphis could have used all 3 points. They end up with one. And really, if we're just being realistic, they need 6 points this week.
Yeah, and it's going to be tough. I mean, you're facing an opponent twice in a week. Okay, in a matter of 4 day span, right? You've got a Thursday
and a Sunday. Yep.
And so it should be very, very, very. And this is going to get chippy. Tim, I think if you know somebody goes down and this is where you start getting a little temper flare, especially in that second match, or you get hey, I don't care what happens. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. That being said, Memphis is not out of it.
No.
They could still hit that second place, that second spot. Birmingham is I think out of reach for Memphis at this point.
No, they are not. Maximum points for Memphis would be 28, but if they don't, let's just say if they have a bad week, then then first place would be out of it.
Out of it.
Yeah, but yes, playoffs are. But they're going to need a lot of help.
Yes.
And with just one win now, they got to win a lot more starting right now. Before we move ahead and talk about any of the future matches, I want to get your take on a couple of things from that match. And that is, you know, Dan Metzger got his first start. It might have been his first start all year, maybe his second start, but he was a mainstay with the club last year. It was good to see him get a start. Couple of rough tackles in there. He gets sent off.
Yeah.
And so he's gone. Michael Reed comes in. Fills in at right back, which I think we've talked about this before. You can pretty much stick him anywhere, and he's gonna be a professional out there. So I thought he filled the gap, and you know we could have very well on the last kick of the game lost that match because Birmingham took a shot that
just
missed. But I wanted to get your take on Jose Baxter in that match. It's his first full match. Or at least did he play the full match or did he play most of the match?
Most.
He played most of the match. He got subbed out. What'd you think?
Welcome back, buddy. Good to see him. Heart, effort, I love it. The charisma that he brings, it's good. It's good stuff. And, you know, I like him in the middle, man. You know, he's that little bit of heartbeat, you know, to kind of propel. Just like we see with Leston Paul. You know, where Leston Paul's like that silent leader. He's going to keep trudging and trudging and trudging. And all of a sudden, Jose Baxter's there to kind of reinforce.
Yeah.
You know the motion and that motivation. So I like Jose Baxter.
I like what Tim O'Queen did. I think he just basically said, "Go get behind the striker.
Mm-hmm.
Just go wherever you want and raise hell with the ball."
Yeah,
and it worked out.
Yeah. Yeah, be an instigator.
That is a strategy.
There's
the go where you need to go to orchestrate. That is a strategy. That is not just I don't know, just go do something. there's a method behind that.
And I don't know, just go run around.
Yeah.
That's my style.
Now, while he thrived and thought he looked good, we still got some struggles at top at striker.
Sure.
We got problems. The last two matches, you take Cal Jennings, you take Brandon Allen, you take those 180 minutes. They both played like 45 and 45 each match.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take their sum, 180 minutes of striker in the past week, two shots, neither of them on target.
Right.
And for your job to be the one to bury the ball in the back of the net,
that's rough.
Something is just not clicking. I don't know if it's being able to get the ball to them or if they're able to get themselves into a space where they can receive the ball.
You know,
but they're just not. There's not enough. The goal production, I understand. They can be saved. You can miss the shots, but they're not even taking those opportunities.
Two shots. I mean, you're talking about two shots
total.
Yeah. And so between the
collective two of them.
Correct.
You know,
not two apiece, two total.
And I think what the frustrating part for us as fans looking at this outside looking in is, well, they're getting services in. Go back two matches where Keanu Marsh Brown, I think he put in like eight across the middle that could have seen the back of the net, could have been singing some string music. And probably should have, but there were steps off. They were maybe not curled enough back towards the middle. And is that whose fault is that? Is that effort, you know, getting to the net? Is that just not putting it where it needs to go? I don't know, but those are some chances. So I say that because you're getting some balls in where they need to be inside that 6-yard box. They're just not getting the job done.
Just need more.
Maybe
just more volume.
Yeah.
Because I can't speak for Jennings. Jennings has a goal, and it was a great goal.
Yeah.
But no production since then.
Since then.
The effort's been there. The running has been in.
Yeah.
And I thought when we were down to 10, he came in and was putting pressure and forcing Birmingham to not sit back. And there's value in that.
Sure.
So I'm not slagging Cal Jennings.
Right.
But the bottom line is, if you're a striker,
you got to strike.
You got to score.
Yeah.
You got to score. And with
you
that.
You got a Cobra Kai. Strike hard, strike fast.
And sometimes it's based upon volume.
Thank you.
Sweep the leg.
Sweep the kick the face.
But the bottom line is I think more volume is got to be the answer. You know, if I know that, Tim Mulqueen knows that.
Yeah.
I know they're working on that. It's just getting that into execution on the pitch.
On the pitch during the game time. And, you know, say what you will about the back line. I think that the back line has improved greatly throughout the season in certain areas, and it's good to see. However, it does have its problem areas, and that it is what it is.
Tim Howard was fine in goal, by the way.
That was great.
On Saturday. I mean, he had a couple of moments where he had to come out and knock the ball away and very sure-handed.
Yeah.
There was one ball that was kind of just launched in toward the goal that it was like, I know it's coming this way. It's just like right in the breadbasket. Boop. No problem.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Run the other way now, guys.
So they have two matches, one Thursday, one Sunday against North Carolina FC. Technically, mathematically, they're not must wins.
They're must wins.
But they're must wins. they got to get this going.
They're must wins.
Yeah. And then this past week, Nashville SC picking up a win against Inter Miami and then picking up a draw at Inter Miami. They're playing pretty well.
I just say, Nashville's games always get delayed. What is this?
Something about the weather.
What is this? What is happening? Because inevitably, Nashville will be the only club in the MLS that gets delayed. LA and everybody like that, fine, no problem.
Yeah, look, you can order a pizza and get ready to watch at the beginning of the match. By the time they actually kick off,
ice cold.
You're to the cinnamon sticks by then.
Yes. What is it with Nashville SC in this damn weather? That's all I'm saying. Come on.
They're kind of growing on me. Joe Willis is kicking butt in goal.
Yeah.
They're doing
clean
fine.
Clean sheeted again.
Gary Smith, who has been with this club for a long time, even when they were down in like the PDL, I think he had even coached here against Memphis City SC. He had come, or Memphis City FC, before 901 FC when they played out at Christian Brothers. I think he actually came out and coached Nashville at that lower level. So he's been with them all the way.
Yeah.
And he seems to know what he's doing. And he's doing a pretty darn good job with an expansion.
I'm just saying, I'm sick of being six beers in by the time the game kicks off.
Pace yourself, man.
Lord have mercy.
Pace yourself. Go beer, beer, and then water. Alternate.
Alternate.
Yeah.
Double fist it.
Yeah. Oh, goodness gracious me. We'll be back right after this on My Three Subs.
And that takes us to the half. More next on My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey.
When you're buying or selling a home, it can be one of the most stressful times of your life. When you're purchasing a home, it's one of the biggest investments you'll ever make, and you want to get it right, and you want to know that you got it at a fair price and not have buyer's remorse as you're moving those boxes into the house. If you're selling, you want to make sure you get a good price for it, and you're able to move on quickly and move on to your next stop in life. I'm Tim Van Horn, licensed realtor in Tennessee and Mississippi with Cry Like Realtors. My number is 901-756-8900 in my office, or you can always call me on my cell at 901-262-5000. I'm relocation certified, and whether you're moving around the block or around the world, I can help you get where you're going. If you're thinking of selling your home, give me a call. I'll put together a marketing plan that'll help you put that sold sign in the front yard faster. If you're thinking of buying a home, give me a call or check me out online at timvanhorn.com for a personalized home search. And I never, I mean never, charge a fee to work with buyers. So give me a call at my office, 901-756-8900, or on my cell at 262-5000. You can always find me on the website at timvanhorn.com. That's timvanhorn.com. For Tim Van Horn, cry like realtors.
There's the whistle. Go, go, go. Second half, my three subs action from the Center Circle Studios.
No idea where this is going to go, but I know I'm along for a great ride with the Wolfpack because we're the three best friends that anyone could have. Who we got today, Brody?
Well, I know him really well. He used to be my old boss.
We know who he is.
But no, man, the man, the myth, the legend, Memphis great, Devin Steele is in the house.
Well, and not only who he is, but what he is, he's also kind of his own brand as well.
He's got billboards, Tim. He's got billboards.
No, for real. I mean, you've spent, how many years you've been in the market for, what, over 25 years. And, you know, you
know how old I am?
32 or 33. No, you're 36.
I'm 35.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Just getting out of wet in the bed when you started hitting big in the market.
I'm in first grade. Oh yeah, I know Devin Steele. Devin Steele is my man. Play the Nelly record.
But yeah, so I mean, you've been in radio, but I think the other side of you that people might not really necessarily know is that you're a big like soccer fan, and you're a big because I didn't know that. And it was funny one day, Tim. I think we were starting this podcast, and Devin's like, "Oh hell yeah, let's do it. Let's. I mean, you could talk about this, and I'm like, bro, what? Who is this guy?
Well, you know, the interesting thing about radio, and you've been, you know, in the business long enough, and then Tim knows this, is you have your things that you enjoy that are your me time things. As being a lifelong athlete, I played college football, I played soccer since I was six. You know, it's just we've always dibbled and dabbled in so many different things, and you have to, you know, in your professional media career, you have to have your vices, and, you know, soccer is one of those things. I've been a part of an incredible, you know, men's team, you know, for, you know, over 12 years, that thing is 16, 18 years. And before that, you know, I played in high school. You know, I got serious about football. I stopped playing high school soccer at Central, which I was pretty good.
Did they try to recruit you as a kicker?
No, but, you know,
because that was the football thing.
So here's the deal. So when I was in high school, and if people know that I played Central High School, I played defensive back in college. But I would score a touchdown. I played running back, but I also did all the kicking. I would score a touchdown. I'd run halfway to the sideline. They throw me the extra point tee. I kick an extra point. I throw it back. They give me the kickoff tee. I kick the kickoff, make a tackle, and I'd go play defense. So I never came off the field. Like, I did all the kicking and played offense and defense.
They're like,
in high
who
school.
Is this kid?
Wouldn't it great to kick off that little black block instead of kicking it, you know, out of a goat pasture?
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's much different. But when you get to college, everybody has, I mean, even in non-competitive men's leagues, like, there's some great guys that played college football that kicked. That played. What's the guy's name that kicked at Michigan?
Oh, Jason Vincent.
Yeah, yeah.
He was a punter,
He's an incredible, you know, but you get to college, even at Division I University of Tennessee at Martin, like, one of our kickers was a failed out guy from Maryland, but he was an incredible soccer player.
Right.
Like, and all those guys, all they do is kick on the other field all game, all practice, until it's time to come over for special teams. But all those guys, you know, punters, extra point guys, you know what I mean? Like, it's incredible. I couldn't, when I got to college, I mean, I couldn't hang with them. It's just, and even at that level, it's an incredible group of people. And most of those guys are soccer guys. So.
Did you play intramurals when you were in college then?
No, hell, I played intramural basketball. I didn't,
But I tried to do an intramural soccer in college.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
too skinny, too fast for me.
Holy smokes.
After you run your ass off for half a year, like, the last thing I want to do is go run my ass off for intramurals. Like,
for nothing.
For nothing.
Yeah, for nothing.
Pretty much.
I don't know. They had a barbecue cookout at the end of it, and it was great. But
you know, soccer has always been kind of my vice, playing with the Midtown team and actually co-managing that team and helping kind of do some different things with that team as we split it up. It's been a great group of guys. But that was really my Thursday night fellowship forever. Tim, just like you playing in that, there's a lot of guys that come through GMSA that is their Thursday night fellowship or their Monday night fellowship, and that's what you do. Like, there are a lot of teams that come together, they play together, and they go home. Like, we that's our high point of the week. Like, we'd be on a group meet talking about the game. We win, that's great, but we're going to go drink and eat afterwards. You know what I mean? And there's a lot of fellowship afterwards. We've gone to Europe together. We've gone and seen all kinds of games together and really made it, you know, a, kind of my, you know, before COVID, really, you know, part of the of our social cycle.
Oh, yeah, it's the best. I mean, going to East End after the match, whether you won or lost, and you could
it doesn't matter.
You could be totally pissed off at somebody on your team for screwing something up at the end, but it's like family. You can be mad at your own family, but then when you go to East End, I mean, it's all...
It's one of the best things about those...
We go back to life. Leagues,
you know, I think that, you know, soccer for... And I know you've probably heard this, you know, and I've heard other people say it on the podcast, but, you know, in Memphis, you know, I think that we really, you know, it doesn't get the credit that it has. Like, to me, it's the stories and the passion of all these players. Like, that's all they know.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, from young and guys that come up in academies and all these... incredible stories of people growing up and, you know, terrible, you know, in that it's not always that, you know, but you got the Ronaldos of the world and all these other guys that grew up in these academies and, you know, and these incredible players. But it's just like thinking about what the adversity that a lot of these people come through, you know.
Our buddy Esteban, Steve, our first ever guest.
Absolutely.
Grew up in Venezuela. Yeah. He came across, I mean, this is so many different stories. And that's the cool thing is that I kind of grew up out there. I started out there when I was in my 20s, and I guess until recently, but I really kind of matured out there because you learn when you're in your 20s, you're invincible. You go out there, you're going all out. When you're 30, you start to pull out a little bit, and it's like 40. It's like, dude, I got to go to work the next day.
Absolutely.
You beat me. I'm just going to let that ride.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
But I think that's kind of like this really cool timeline and lifespan of a soccer player, especially in Memphis.
Yeah.
You know, Tim, you and I talk about like all these, you know, academies and clubs and stuff like that, and this is how you can stay. But here now, Devin's just saying, hey, listen, you can just stay with it and have fun and play the game as it is, and that is fun.
Yeah, and I stopped playing for a while, you know, and when I got out of college, kind of liked what the Midtown Club was doing because it was a group of guys that did a bunch of other things. My brother was one of the guys that started the club, and I've always been a better athlete than him. I'm just even though he's a little bit older than me, but, you know, Steve is a great example. He's somebody who's an incredible player, who's a great ref, that had crazy knee surgeries, you know what I mean?
He's above average ref. Yeah. I wouldn't say great, but he's above average anyway. But anyway. Yeah.
But, you know, I think that last couple of years to be involved with, you know, guys come and go, but, you know, these are relationships that you build because everybody has a love for the game. And then you build these relationships with people. The other thing is, you know, there's some other guys that I've played with who have been instrumental in the whole play where you stay and then trying to get, you know, Memphis and especially the Southern United States. And Tim, we've talked about this, and Brody, we talked about this too, but it's just in cities like Memphis, like it's such a non-inner city sport. You know what I mean? Like a lot of kids have never been, privileged to say, hey, here's a ball. It's changing. The city is changing, and it's changing a lot. Soccer, a lot of times, is the first organized sport that a lot of kids play, but they don't stick with it. You know what I mean?
Do you think that's because it's getting more organized now? Do you think that's because of the pro club?
I think with technology, it's more... people see it more.
Mm.
And then also with technology also, you see the same superstar things that these guys do and these athletes.
Right.
Like Aubameyang, one of my favorite players. You know, I'm an Arsenal fan. This guy wants, what, 250,000 euros like a week or something?
Yeah.
But, I mean,
He's getting it.
But you look at this guy's driveway. You know what I mean? This guy makes more money than anybody in the NBA. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, there's some incredible stories, but these guys are superstars. Literally, superstars.
World superstars.
But so to answer your question, to come full circle, I think that they see it, they're more exposed to it, and it's about the exposure because before, there's nobody that inner city kids can really tangibly put their hand on or wrap their mind around, you know, Pele. Everybody knows who, you know, oh my God. Like, I mean, that Pele's ancient.
But I could never live up to that.
That's right. And it wasn't, you know, it was traditionally an expensive sport when you're talking about Memphis because you're talking about club, you're talking about traveling, you're talking about the suburbs. Right. You know, so a lot of people just kind of tune that out because my mom, you know, there's no way my mom would let me. I grew up in Midtown playing for Evergreen and Idlewild and ended up playing at Central, you know what I mean? But now, you know, you drive down Tillman and there are guys playing, you know, you've got a huge Latino, you know, population of guys that love the game, that grew up playing it. You got guys from that Nigerian, you got guys from all over the place that play, you know what I mean? So the world's game is really starting to make a difference here in Memphis, I think.
I want to piggyback on something he said, because Devin brought up a great point about the availability of it on television and people to be, you know, able to see it online. I think that's also helped from a coaching standpoint, because now we're starting to see coaches able to take those online courses, have affordable coaching classes, so those young kids, those first-time coaches, can move inside the 240 loop and start to have an impact on kids, whereas before, that knowledge sharing of tactics, of technique, really wasn't there. You had to go pay that price to go get that, or just be lucky that maybe your neighborhood coach had played somewhere before to get that.
That's right.
And that's a generational thing. I know when we grew up here, you know, the soccer clinics where maybe the Memphis Rogues or the Americans would bring out a van to Wilson Field or something to go out there. We'd get a hot dog and a Coke or something. But we, as now we're the parents, now we're a bit more sophisticated because we've had that opportunity to be exposed to it. And now, thanks to technology, not only we can grab that technology and show it to the next generation, can say, hey, here, you know, here, look at this. Check this out.
So, well, and then I think they're finding it themselves. You know, I look at my little one. He's sitting there coloring, right? And he's going to start kindergarten. But he's like, hey, the soccer game's on.
Right.
I'm like, how'd you find that?
Yeah, that's awesome. Know? And I can't get my kids to really grab on. Like, my son plays, but he plays to play. And I think, you know, he'll come around. But a real oh, wow moment for me was maybe 2 years ago, you know, being a part of the Midtown Club, we started the Midtown Club. Like, there was a 13 and a 15 and under. Yeah. Now there's a 16. Now there's a girls. But I was taking one of my 17-year-old daughter now, Devin, to drop her off at Central High School. And I saw three of the guys walking to school with their Midtown kits on.
Which, by the way, you want to talk about some really cool kits, Tim? Devin makes some pretty damn cool kits.
Oh, I know all about this because we were at a 901 FC match,
like,
last
jealousy
year.
Jealousy level kind of kit.
And his brother has, like, all these mock-up drawings and stuff. It's like, dude, we're at the game. It's like, hey, you want to see these mock-ups? And he's, like, thumbing through it on the iPhone. It's like, yeah, I'm always thinking about this. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and that's one of the, you know, people always ask me, how did I start to love that? I've always loved the fashion of the game. Like, there's so much backstory from sponsors. You know, you see the old, you know, jersey with the Carlsberg on the front. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's so many great backstories, because you got to think, like, in the States, we never really had that with professional sports. It's all about the team. You know, things have changed now as the sponsorships, but there's so many different backstories with clubs and why their third kit looks like this. I mean, and still to this day, like, there's incredible stories. So,
well, look at Arsenal's new, you know,
I'm not a fan of it, man.
Really?
I think
I love
ugly.
The marble.
I'm not a fan, man.
It's very 90s ish. It's a little bit 80s, 90s.
Yeah.
But, you know, Liverpool has amazing kits. You know, there's a lot of second and third teams in Europe that have incredible kits, you know, but it's always, you know, we've all played on teams that had, you know, shitty uniforms or kits, you know what I mean? So it's just like, so when you have a, about that.
He doesn't care.
Okay. So then when you have a, so when you're an adult and guys can pay for it, it's like, man, you know what? Like,
we're
going to design a bad kit. So, and then it turned into, hey, when are we doing another one? So then it became two. So I'm churning them out, but it's a process, because it's more than just screen printing. I had to get patches made. They come from Europe. You know, you got to wait for them to come. And now, oh my God, I'm glad I wouldn't order for like 25 of them. I'd wait for like half a year for them to get here.
Yeah.
But, and so even.
I mean, at what point do you just go ahead and buy the Cricut?
You
know what I mean?
Exactly.
You just print yourself.
But it becomes now, I just, you know, since we haven't had a season, you know, I start sharing them. But everybody, you know, in our division is like, man, I can't wait to see what y'all's kids look like this year. Like, it's become the thing to do. And I'd bring them to work and I'd show Bernie and I'd be like, look, like, oh man, I took the 1996 U.S. men's team Adidas font for the numbers on the back.
I know. And
you
it's
know
like,
I mean? In the front,
and, yeah. And I merged it with the Adidas kit from, you know, 1972.
Yeah.
It's like, bro, like, why didn't anybody else think of this?
But you know, it's just like, especially soccer, you know, it's just, there's so many people that are purists. Like, nobody, I play with guys that would never go out and buy a pair of cleats that were not black. Like, there's no way. You know, nowadays, it's hard to find a pair of black cleats.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, they're very traditionalists that don't, it's like, oh man, you wear pink cleats, oh, you better be bad. Like, you better come with it.
Well, that was the thing. Like, the flashy cleats, you better be flashy.
Right.
You know, because you better match your cleats. But that being said, we brought it up a little bit earlier, but the age thing, we got to talk about it, guys, because off mic, you guys were talking about, like, hey, listen, it's getting brutal to play with these kids, and, you know, and especially even in the club pickup games.
You know, and Tim and I do talk about this. You could tell if I, after I play, or even if it's pickup, or you know, we have a massive Tuesday AM and Thursday AM before work indoor game we did for years, but now it's been kind of an outdoor. But you know, it's just over the years it just becomes, you know, I have a hip issue. You know, I know Tim does too, yeah, from playing goalkeeper.
Yeah,
and it just becomes, you know, so much. You have to know, and this is the thing: is competitive athletes, everybody, you know, through your lives, your brain still works like a 20-year-old, but right, your body reacts totally different. You have to know what it is.
Right.
I may play 10, 12 minutes, a half, and I'm good. Like, it, my ego, like, you know, it just is what it is, right? Yeah. You know, and you go, you play 12 minutes, you play hard, you go back in the second half, you play 10, 12 minutes, you drink a beer and sit on the sidelines, you know what I mean? Like,
but he's watching. I've been on the sideline when he's been, he'll insert himself for 5-10 minutes. I've come watching, maybe I'm the next match. He's focused on the match. I mean, yeah, it's not about him getting as many minutes as he can or whatever. Just come in, get it done. But, and I think,
but even like the level pain of play, but okay, we can talk about the pain, but I mean, the level of play, it isn't about scoring the points then. It's just the love of the game.
Well, we still want to win.
Yeah, you know, I think that's even, you know, in men's, and I'm going to say it's recreational, but it's pretty competitive. Man, people pay their money. I mean, you got to think during spring, you know, you were playing against Carbignani kids out there. You know what I mean?
Like, it sounds like a charity Carbo's kids. Yeah, you
know? I mean, it's just, and you don't want to lose.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It is about the physical fitness, but at the same time, it's like, you know, I've scored a few goals in my career out there, but it's about, you know, you want to win. And, you know, the guys that I played with, and you know, guys on the other team, you've grown up with these guys, playing against these guys. It's like, there are plenty of guys that have played in college. You know, that have great stories, you know,
right.
So the competition, the level of competition is really pretty good. You know, I played as high as, I think, Division One, and we could have gone up to Premier, but we split our team up. But there are guys that played in Premier League that, oh my man, I can't even get a touch on the ball. Like, I touch the ball and there's a guy, you know, on me. Like, I'm not going to pay my money and go drive out to Collierville for 3 hours of my life, to get one touch on the ball. You
just
know what
just
I mean?
For Mike Rose, right. Just be like, yes, I got it.
Well, and some of those guys could probably at least get a fair showing at a trial for 9-1 or a USL club. I mean, some of these guys they're fast, they're technically gifted. I mean, yeah, I, in fact, I wouldn't even call it rec. I'd call it adult amateur, I think. I think to be fair, because I think the skill level, even like second or third division down, is not bad at all.
Oh, no, not bad at all. It's the difference of, you know, those guys can show up 11, 12, 13 guys deep, play a whole game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whereas is like Division Three, where we play right in the middle, you have to have, you know, 17, 18 guys. Yeah. You know what I mean? And be happy with that and understand who's who and who does what in the level of physical fitness, because it's such a physical, even at that level, it could be a very physical, very dangerous, you know, 90 minutes of your life.
I'm gonna ask you this: what's injuries? I mean, they happen.
I mean,
there.
I had a buddy of mine, Alex Smith. He tried out for 901 FC, and he teaches, and he used to coach at Central. Blew his knee out last season. Like, I was right there when he did it. Like, literally right there when he did it. And I was just like, man, I blow my knee out of there. Like, that's it.
It's over. Right.
Like, that's it.
Like, there's no like, hey, we're gonna have mid-season surgery.
Find somebody else to do the kits. I'm out. I'm checking it in. But like I said, it's knowing who's who and who's what and what everybody can provide and bring to the game, you know.
Is surgery ever an option then for you?
For a hip?
Yeah, or for knees or whatever?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I have a hip issue. I'm eventually going to have a hip replacement.
In fact, we'll probably just get a semi-private room and get them done at the same time.
I mean, probably could.
It's an outpatient thing, guys. I mean, yeah. I'm just saying that it's probably like a curtain between you, and they just kind of like go from one to the other. Hey, we got like a sale on titanium hips today. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, my wife is a nurse, so she's already, you know, put it out there and let me know. Like, you know, you guys are like the biggest babies. Like, if you have hip surgery, you're not going to get it done where I work. Like, I'm going to tell you now, and I'm going to make sure that I'm somewhere far away when you have it done. Yeah. I was like, well, that's promising. I appreciate your support.
Thanks, son.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
So to answer your question, I think from a quality of life standpoint,
yeah,
you know, I think so. It's not something that bothers me all the time. If I go lift weights and do squats, it'll hurt.
Yeah.
If I go play soccer for 2 hours, it's going to hurt the next day. I got to take a Motrin before I go ride my bike. But at the same time, like, it's a much different, you know, it's just very hard to describe. But from a quality of life standpoint, I don't want to be 60 years old and be limping around with a bad hip.
I'm with Devin on that because it's – because as I get older, I mean, one of the things for us is he bikes a ton.
Well, yeah.
For me,
for
me, strength training and cardio is important, but right. a lot of that is driven from the hips. It's driven from the legs, and with the pain, I can't get a depth of squat. It's hard to do correct form, which means you can hurt yourself in other ways.
Sure.
So I'm with him in that at some point, it's probably going to be a reality. Plus, I live in a two-story house, so getting up the stairs to go yell at my kid, I mean, as I get older, that's going to be a little more, little tricky.
Tim, do you think you think it's been compounded by playing goalkeeper?
Yes, I think so. Very much so, just from hitting the ground, because, I mean, you've got impact.
Well, it takes its toll. I mean, it has to. You know,
it does.
You even see it in the older keepers, you know, when they're like, oh, look, it's so-and-so from, you know, the 80s.
I don't know why Tim – I don't know what Tim Howard even gets out there at age
41.
He's competent. He can do the job. But imagine what we've been through, and then you take that and look at Tim Howard times 10,000. Every day he's hitting the ground. When he's training, even in his prime, he's hitting the ground probably 100 times a day, times 5 days a week, plus the match, and then a rest day where he's probably getting an ice bath.
But what we don't see, Tim, is the two-hour ice baths and the rehab after that he's probably doing. He has to be doing.
Well, he's figured it out, I mean, because he's played on every level, too, of how his body needs to recuperate and bounce back. But he's a physical specimen. To be 41 years old,
it's just, I hope I look that good at 41.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it now going, we're going to long ago.
Well, I missed it.
Well, that being said, you're biking now. And a lot.
Yeah.
Like, if you follow Devin on Instagram, you're at Devin Steele, and you're biking everywhere.
Man,
it's like 40 miles here.
I'm like 100 miles a week. I mean, this is the thing. I bought a bike in June. I made the investment, and, you know, I'm one of these guys where, like, I didn't consult with anybody. I just, like, brought it home. And I was like, hey, here's my new bike. This is my Father's Day gift to myself. And she was like, man, I hope you ride it, like, a lot. So, you know, as I left, you know, corporate America a little bit over a month ago, I mean, I found it kind of like a release to kind of get out, kind of see, you know, different parts. Kind of, I don't ride with music on. It's extremely dangerous. But
yeah,
I ride with a group of guys that some are competitive, but there's like 35 guys. We do group rides. Sometimes I ride super early in the morning. Sometimes, you know, you get out Shelby Forest, you're by yourself with a group of guys. You know, you really feel like you're somewhere else. It's like taking a small trip.
Well, that Green Line, you're not in Memphis anymore.
Well, and if you ride the right time, Green Line's extremely crowded right now, if you didn't know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I've taken up cycling. I've enjoyed it. And the other thing, Tim, it's like there's no impact. You know, there's no impact at all.
Well, there's a different hip problem there, buddy.
Maybe so. Do you have a bell on yours?
I do not.
Okay.
Damn,
I do not. No bells.
Do you touch the wagon on the back?
No, I'm not. My kids aren't that young.
Now, this is a sensitive question for me. Does everybody wear those skin tight outfits? I'm not really sure I'm about those. No, the ones with the padded shorts.
Yeah,
I can sign up for.
Is that padded in the front or padded in the butt?
It's all of the above. It kind of covers the whole area. So here's the deal, Tim. I don't have to ride in them, but I do because if I ride more than 15 miles, it hurts.
Yeah.
It hurts really, really badly.
Really?
And the thing is like, it's a no-judge zone. Like, most of the guys I ride with, I mean, we all have padded shorts on and I'm designing kits for the cycle club now, too.
Yeah.
You know, I just did an incredible one. As a matter of fact, I had somebody from two other clubs like, hey, I'm riding a ride like 100 miles away. Who designs y'all's jerseys? Can I wear one of y'all's? And I was like,
funny
hey, man.
I do.
As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you how much it'll cost you.
Right.
So you can be called Midtown RPM instead of Midtown OGs?
No, these guys are from all over the place. This is Grind City Cycling Club.
Okay.
Grind City Cycling Club.
All right.
So it's been pretty fun.
Look at this guy, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, but it's just like anything, whether it's, you know, I've really, you know, missed soccer during COVID, is it's killed in any kind of recreational sports. You know what I mean? That was my fellowship, and I've taken up cycling. So when soccer comes back, I still do that. But it's just like you guys, man, I'm all over the place. My brain, you know, an idle mind is a dangerous thing, like they say. You know, it's like I have to have a million things going on at the same time.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, what's it like for you if you're out cycling for a long time? And because not only have you been busy, you know, with your air shift and everything that you do talent wise, but you've also been in management. What's it like for you to be able to go out and not be, you know, kind of beholden to a cell phone and to just get out? What does that mean for you? How does that feel?
That's that's a great point. It does feel good. And then since I left, you know, corporate radio a month ago, it has been kind of a sense of of therapy, you know, to say, man, I rode 40 miles. Number one, you get an incredible sense of you know, that you've done something great, because 40 miles, you don't realize it when you're in a car, but oh my God, you're almost in Jackson, Tennessee when you're riding 40 miles. But to ride 40 miles on a bike, you know, and you've gone through Fraser, or you're going north, or if you're in Germantown and you're doing Collierville to Piperton, Arlington, all out in there, which is very bike friendly out there. I like to ride out there. It's just like a huge sense of accomplishment, but it really does kind of help you free your mind and kind of get away from everything, Tim, because I do not answer my phone. My Strava app is hooked up to my bike computer, so you will get text messages to your front of your phone, but you know, it's just, I try to clear my mind and take it away from everything.
I know that you kind of presided over a large share of the Memphis market. I mean, you were huge responsibility, very successful with that. Did you have to give yourself permission that it's okay? Phone's not ringing. I don't have to answer that right away. For some people, that's a psychological hurdle that's very difficult.
It's a, you know what? My ego wasn't bruised because things have been changing. We're all radio guys, and I think we felt that. I mean, I've worked with both of you guys very, you know, personally and all kinds of different things. But yes, it's very different to wake up and go, okay, I have a Zoom meeting at 10. I have a bunch of smaller projects that I've taken on. Yeah. Being from here, I've been very lucky and very blessed to work and have an extremely successful career with people that I grew up listening to on the radio and to manage people. And I've had a lot of different people reach out and say, hey, I have an idea. Let's do this together, or let's do that. So the phone rings, but it's a different, from a different perspective. Usually, you know, I was the guy who was getting the phone call at 3 or 5 o'clock in the morning that the radio station is off the air, you know, one of 7 radio stations. And I had to tell them the other day, take me off the list. Like, if my phone was still ringing, they didn't take me off the list. So,
I mean, hey, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm still on some list, and I'm like, okay, all right.
So it's a, you know what, Tim? It's more of a, it was a very frustrating thing for the first week or so, because I'm so used to, you know, doing certain things, but
almost light sleeping because you're afraid you're going to miss something?
Yeah, pretty much. And, you know, the first week, my phone rang crazy. Second week, not so much. Some people give you a chance to pause, and I'd go out. Somebody stopped me at Kroger. Like, it was nonstop. Like, I really kind of got tired of talking to people about what my situation was. But it's only, you have to remind yourself that people are doing it because they care.
Right.
You know what I mean? And they care about you because they're out of the routine. I mean, Tim, you were on TV forever, and the running joke has always been that people still talk about you being on television.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the same thing. People, and we don't have a lot of media turnover. People are used to watching Jarvis Greer in sports.
Right.
You know, they assume you're going to be there forever. And you're out of their comfort zone. When they get in the car, they don't hear you in the afternoon. It's like, man, what
happened?
Where'd Devin go? Right. Like what happened? Yeah. Right. So it's been a different part of my brain. It really has.
Well, it had to feel good for, I know it had to be annoying at first with people coming up, but it had to feel good too, because apparently, you know, they know that you've invested in them, and and they've invested right back in you too.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool.
It's been tough because I think, like a lot of people, you know, from working from home or doing the things that we can do. And I think that's what COVID has shown us. Besides watching, you know, Champions League and great soccer matches, you know, whenever we want to, is, you know, I would have liked to try to get away for about 7 to 10 days, but I couldn't, you know, because of the situation. It would have been great to go to the beach and just go lay on the beach for a week.
Beaches, what are those?
I know, right?
Hey, speaking of Champions League, all this stuff has been coming in like rapid fire. I mean, there wasn't like any pomp and circumstance with this. Did you see any of the PSG Bayern match?
I did, and I wanted PSG to win just because Mbappe and Neymar, I don't, are we going to see them again together? I don't know. You know what I mean? Like,
I think that ship has sailed.
Some people, either like Neymar or you can't stand him. You know, like, I'm one of those guys, like I like Neymar, you know, like, just because of what he came from.
Right.
You know what I mean? But
it's not that I don't like him. I just don't think that they're going to play together. I don't think that the money is going to be right at PSG for much longer. And they're going to keep paying for something that's not necessarily going to continue to win.
True. And he's going to continue to have, you know, physical issues or something. Yeah. It's always going to be an ankle or an Achilles or something. Something else is bound to happen. He's a very small guy. You know what I mean? He's not a very...
And he's getting up there in age.
And he's getting up there in age too, though. But I did. I thought it was an incredible match. I mean, I liked all the matches that were on last week. I thought everything was extremely entertaining for the most part.
You can understand this. I thought PSG, they had Neymar and Mbappe. It seems like Di Maria went missing. They should have put him on a milk carton.
Yeah.
They've got stars that can play. But Bayern have stars that become a collective.
Sure.
To me, that's why they were a little bit better. And I'm not so sure that they're – in. People could argue with me on this, and I would listen either way. I don't know which is better, Bayern or Liverpool.
I've said it before.
Because they're similar in mentality.
Sport. Right. It's a team sport, and both clubs play very team-oriented.
Well, and also both of those teams, too, when it's the same mind frame, like you said, Tim. It's not individuals. It's a collective unit. Both of those teams, when it's their day, they play very fast. Like that is. It's almost like they're in a different speed. It's like, oh, my God. Like who is this? Like, it's a totally different.
And those passes are stupid.
Yeah.
Like, they're threading needles that you're just like, come on.
PSG needed, like, a Modric or somebody like him to be kind of the guy in the middle to distribute. Yeah. I think that would have somebody like that, because when PSG can defend their butts off, there's no question about that. Right. They were I was very impressed. Score. Yeah, I was very impressed.
That scoreline was 1-0, and that should have been like 8-0 with the way Byron is playing.
PSG can defend, but there's just too far of a gap. And you've seen it out in GMSA, out at Micros. You can defend your pants off, but if you don't have that link up to get it up to your attackers, you ain't getting anything.
Well, it helps when you have guys in the front that can come back and play in the back, and guys that can play in the back that can move the front. They run 22 miles an hour too. So,
Alphonso Davies. Yeah, that's pretty good too.
That helps.
Yeah,
but you're exactly right. I mean, that's exactly what it is. That's the difference. But between Liverpool and Bayern, like, you know, if they played five matches, it could be anybody's day to win three of those. I think.
Yeah,
I agree.
Hansi Flick. He came on as an interim manager, because remember, Bayern was in deep doo-doo back in the winter, and then Hansi Flick comes in, and the next thing you know, Bayern runs off, wins the title. They passed Dortmund. Thought Dortmund was going to have a shot at that. Maybe Red Bull was going to have a shot at that, perhaps.
Well, yeah, we were calling Red Bull or anybody in, well, pretty much anybody from Premier League for a minute then, too.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, it was like, I don't know, anybody's match.
Pep Guardiola. Hmm. Is he one of the greatest managers of all time, or is he one of the best continuity managers of all time? Because I made the point last week that while he's won a lot of trophies, he's never won anything new that his predecessors didn't already win.
I'm going to tell you the thing about Pep, though. Here's the thing. I think what we forget is he also seems like the kind of manager that guys want to play for, which is a big difference. Right. You know what I mean? So I think that's been part of his success.
We got to talk about Arsenal. So they picked up Willian, right?
Yeah.
That was on a freebie, I think, maybe? Pretty much.
I mean, very little money spent. Arsenal doesn't have much of the way of overhead anymore since the Aubameyang deal.
Yeah.
And there's good reason why they did it so early, obviously, because, hey, let's get him all lined up, packaged, good to go. Then we can build a team around him, because obviously he is the bread and butter.
Right. Well, the deal is this, is he had been pushing about trying to get that deal done. There was a lot of there was a lot of pressure on that as well. Like we were talking about, I mean, that is an insane amount of money. But here again, I think people and supporters really feel like they're in a place now where they can really build. Obviously, they had some defensive issues this year. But
everybody in the Premier League did. Everybody. We mentioned it a couple times. The worst thing in the Premier League as a whole was the defense across every club. Maybe, Liverpool, I'll give you that one.
Which you would have thought would have been the most solid thing coming back from the break, because you can defend as a team and you don't have to put as much mileage on, but that seemed to be the exact opposite.
But the beautiful thing is, you know, there's all these great matches on, you know what I mean? And it's, you know, whether it's CBS Sports or whatever it is, you know, if it's the app, you know, the availability is there where kids can see, like I said, or they can see somebody that looks like them, or they can see, you know, all these great players, you know, no matter who they play for, and they can go, hey, you know what? That's what I want to do.
Do you think a lot of kids are watching the MLS going, that's attainable?
I don't know. One of the things that I'm not a fan of the MLS is I don't think they spend enough time on guys like backstories. Like when you watch college basketball or college football, like you like, and I know they're professionals. I'm not knocking down MLS guys, but you know, you like to know where these guys came from. You know, a lot of these guys are journeymen and have come from, you know, crazy divisions, making, you know, barely ends meet, you know, to make it to MLS and be able to make a living doing this, you know, doing these things. And, you know, and I think it's also hard for a lot of kids to also still kind of put their finger on MLS. I think 901 FC is going to help that, because the experience when things are halfway back to normal will be a lot better. Because, I mean, face it, we were talking about this, Tim, I think after one of the matches was, I mean, it's a really good time going to a 901 FC game.
Sure.
And trying to get people to understand and be able to take to realize that this is part of the experience. Like I was telling my wife, you know, trying to get her to go to a match with me. Like, we're not going to be there for 5-6 hours. It's not a baseball game. You know what I mean? It's not a football game. The production value is good. It moves quick. And it's a pretty quick game.
And you're there for 3 hours, and that's it.
Yeah.
And that's literally maximum. Parking to leave is 3 hours, you know?
And it's the culture. The culture last year was instilled was so good. You were in that video. You were in the Tim Howard video, right, out at the fairgrounds? Yeah. You were part of that, right? You had a little cameo, didn't you?
I did have a cameo.
Did you get SAG points for that or thespian points for?
Man, I was trying to do more, but it was shouts out to Travis. He doesn't work for them anymore. I know he's up in New York and upstate New York, but I liked it. The way they launched the whole thing was good, you know, and as much as I hate Nashville, in the whole area code, you know, I mean, they had a great rollout for MLS and a lot of support. You know, I liked some of the things and some of the creative things that they've done. You know, it sucks.
Everybody.
It's not N.
Everybody.
But you see how the league is growing. You see what Miami is doing now. You know, I went to an LAFC game last summer, which was incredible. Cool stadium right there in the middle of downtown. It's across the freeway from Staples and DTLA, like downtown LA, like LA Live, that whole thing.
Yeah.
Great stadium. Great place to watch a match. I think, as a matter of fact, they had
now, especially this year. Jeez.
Yeah.
LAFC. Yeah.
Exactly. So I think that as MLS is an entity, is a league, I think as it starts to grow more, and you know, that people will start to get a little bit more excited about it. Because even though it is 25 years old now?
25, yep.
Yeah. And this is their 25th anniversary.
Yep.
Then I think people will start to, it'll only help the greater good for the love of the game, I think. So
yeah, I can go with that. Then we talked a minute ago about not wanting to see in the experience there, the USL, and they have different divisions. They're getting into the community, and we're starting to see former players that are actually not just coming in to coach. I mean, you got Eric Winalda that's come in to manage. You've got Dave Sarakin, the former national team manager that was a player, and he's managed the U.S. national team. He's managing North Carolina. You got Tim Mulqueen, who's coached in the MLS. But you've got Tim Howard as an owner. You got DeMarcus Beasley coming in as an owner. So not only are you getting former players, but you're also seeing opportunities. You're seeing minority ownership in these clubs. And I don't mean by percentage. I'm talking about different folks from around the world, different walks of life that are now starting to get a piece of that pie to develop a club and starting to see that grassroots effort build up, where you're not necessarily seeing that in MLS. Sure. It's a breeding ground for success, I think.
But it's even starting more breeding grounds with the academies than popping up everywhere with the USL and stuff. You know, you're seeing these academies pop up, and now look at Atlanta, who's got the USL Academy, and you've got kids now playing in the USL scoring goals.
15, 16 years old. Yeah.
There was a 17-year-old that played against 901 FC and, you know, held his own. In fact, scored twice.
But you don't ground them. You don't yellow card them. You ground them if they commit a foul, though.
You turn their internet off.
You turn their internet off. You call curfew. You do all of that.
No orange slices at half.
That is one of the things that I think is intriguing to me about the USL. It's these guys' relationships with their national teams that come from these other places.
Yeah.
You know, they get called up. You know, it's like, oh, man, that dude plays for 901 FC. The guys from Trinidad and Tobago and the guys from Jamaica and all these different people that have played, you know, for their...
Adam Najm, Afghanistan. I didn't even know they had a national team.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
The Najm brothers played for them. Wow. I didn't even know that.
I didn't know that.
Does that not just blow your mind? Yeah, that is your fast fact of the day. The Najms played for Afghanistan.
Where do they play?
I'll look it up. All across Asia and Europe, I guess. Whatever that region is. Whatever the Middle East is it part Europe, part Asia, and then maybe some of the Middle East? I don't know if they played. I don't know. Anyway. He got called up last year.
Good for him.
Would y'all just pick up the train and just put it back on the track for me? Thank you. Okay. Sorry.
Anyway, he's at Devin Steele if you want to go follow him on socials. I think you're on Devin Steele on everywhere, right?
Yeah, pretty. I think it's Devin _Steele on Instagram. So, I'm like I said.
Go check out those kits, though. Because you posted a few of them, and they are the truth.
We're going to work on a, they always joke that we're going to do a behind the scenes on your kit design. And I think I've done 20.
Really?
I think I've done 20. Yeah, we've had a great run and had an opportunity to, you know, get some sponsorships and really, really look good. I've always been a firm believer. You look good, you play good, man.
That's true.
We've all played on crappy teams with terrible uniforms, man.
Really bad.
Come out there with the sweet kit on, you got to play good. So, you know, hopefully, you know, as far as, you know, when things ease up a little bit, you know, everybody will get back to more, organized sports, man. I really, really miss it.
Yeah.
Will you do us a favor, whatever your next big move is, and we know it's coming. We it's not a question of if, but we know it's when. Will you please keep us in the loop and let us know? We would love to know what's coming up next, because I mean, you've been a part of the Memphis Fabric now for a quarter century, and it's not just about hitting the button and starting the next song. It's about lifestyle. It's about connecting with people.
He's got freaking billboards, Tim.
Yeah. He's got freaking billboards, the president of Afternoon Drive, you know. I mean, you don't name yourself that. Everybody else calls you that. So,
man, I appreciate, like I said, I'm just really lucky to work somewhere and have had up to this point a great career in my first chapter, you know, doing the same thing and managing and growing up on a radio station that I listened to when I was growing up. Like, a lot of people don't get that opportunity. We know so many people in this business and television too that have been journeymen and done this. But I think that, you know, a handful of us have done a really good job of embracing the technology and trying to do more and put ourselves in these situations. So I'm going to have some interesting opportunities for my next chapter, Tim. You definitely be in the loop. Like I said, God willing, I want to stay here. I love my city, but I'm working on some independent stuff here and some great opportunities here with some different entities. It's been good and look forward to whatever that next chapter is. So, I hate if I have to go find another club team somewhere. Damn.
It's tough to allocate the loyalties.
But on the flip side of that, you can use some of your old designs until you think of new ones.
Absolutely.
You can recycle.
That's true. I can. I just don't know how many people want like a 46-year-old midfielder, you know what I mean? That's going to play, give you 20 minutes a match. I don't know.
You just put on your Facebook profile, I do all the little things right.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I'll pass you the ball.
This is My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey. We have added time to the podcast.
For added time, we wanted to recognize a couple of big events that took place in the last week. Over the weekend, we lost a friend of the podcast. We had him on just a few months ago, and I'm talking about one of the original Memphis Rogues, John Huska.
Huska!
John passed away in Baltimore. He was 64 years old. One of the original Memphis Rogues, played at Loyola University, Maryland, went on to play 3 years in Memphis, played indoor for a few years with Cleveland, and then just kind of disappeared, but, you know, stayed in touch with a lot of the Memphis, soccer alumni, and we got to know each other, and he was on the podcast. We spent an hour just chatting about the old days, and
peek behind the curtain there, that what you heard on the podcast wasn't exactly the full interview. There was a lot that was left on the cutting room floor.
Yes, yes. And one of my takeaways from that was him lamenting in a way that when he was younger, he stayed in the States rather than going with Malcolm Allison over to England to either train, I guess, with Manchester City or with, I guess, with Crystal Palace. There was an opportunity there, and he lamented that. But one thing he didn't lament, and one of the things that he was most proud of, and we'll have to, we will put a link to that podcast in our episode notes, was that when it came to personal appearances, I mean, he pretty much handled as many as he could for the Memphis Rogues. So, I mean, so many kids got to meet, get to not necessarily know John, but to be touched by John and just have an interaction with him. And he was kind of the American hero.
Yeah.
For the soccer team. And the team wasn't, I mean, let's be honest, the record was never really all that good, with the exception of indoor, when he was basically goalkeeper of the year for the one indoor season that the Rogues had here. But, you know, he was, when there were no other professional sports here, he was the bee's knees in this town.
Did they play that indoor at the
Coliseum?
It was Coliseum.
And they filled that thing, man. They were like 8,000-9,000 folks. But John passed away at the age of 64. Mm-hmm. And I had this confirmed by three different people, one of them being Kevin Healy, mm-hmm. who we've had on the show before talking indoor soccer with Harrisburg Heat. He's good friends with John. We've had other close friends of John also confirm that. The cause of death, we've heard a couple of things, but we're not going to talk about that.
Sure.
But John, 64 is a damn young age.
Too young.
But...
But when we spoke, and I hope that you'll listen to the podcast again, full of hope and full of energy. But we've lost John, and we've lost two. As time goes on, of course, we're going to continue to lose more legends. But just really hate that he, because of COVID, never really got a chance to come down here and do a guitar smash for Memphis 901 FC, which would have been nice to have a picture of him beside Tim Howard, the past and, and then the current legend here, which would have been nice. And before we move on to one other big note, I do want to give some uplifting news about 901 FC. Last week, a friend of the show who has not been on yet but promises he'll come on, Bo Melson, who was the first African-American in Memphis to turn professional as a soccer player, had the guitar smash at last week's match, last Wednesday's match for 901 FC.
Very cool.
And he played for the Memphis Americans in indoor soccer, and he has put a pin in it, and he's going to join us, and he's going to talk about what it's like to be black in pretty much an all-white sport back in the late 70s and early 80s, and the community and the friendships that he has still today.
That's really cool. Yeah. So congrats, Bo.
Why don't you take us out on an uplifting note?
The uplifting note, and on a happy note, is I guess we got to send a big shout-out, and I'm not going to pull an Angie Zukowski here, so I won't mention
the cat's out of the bag, man. How she's not in trouble, I don't know. The athletic trainer spoiling the number.
Spoiling the number here, but happy birthday to friend of the show, a head coach of Memphis 901 FC, Tim Mulqueen. Celebrating a big old birthday, and it's a double-digit birthday, so...
Yeah.
That's all I'll say.
We'll leave it at that. I saw the Instagram post where Angie brought out a wheelchair for him after practice to be wheeled off the pitch. Keanu's wheeling him off.
It's very Jersey. So, I mean, it was all in good fun and good spirits, and perfectly in line with, if you know Tim Mulqueen, that is him. You know, like that was well in sync with his humor and everything. So, really, really funny there. Yeah. But happy birthday, Tim Mulqueen. And hopefully they can score some W's for a birthday. Of course, matches on Wednesday, Thursday and Sunday this week. I'm so used to saying Wednesday, Saturday, but it's Thursday, Sunday this week, and I'm pretty sure they'll be on the ESPN 3. So
I believe they will be. And Mulch, you know that we love you, and we know that we believe in you, and that hopefully it will be a great week for you and for your birthday. Hopefully the Diet Coke was extra cold.
Do you think he's an all week birthdayer? It's his birthday week.
Mulchapalooza?
Mulchapalooza.
I bet if he gets 6 points this week, I bet it is Mulchapalooza.
It will be, yeah.
For sure.
Let's Mulchapalooza this thing.
Yes, yes. We want to, of course, thank you for listening. If you want to get in touch with us, my3subspodcast@gmail.com. And I appreciate the spam you've been sending our websites as well for giant boobs. We've been spamming those. We haven't been putting those. Thanks for the solicitation, but I'm a happily married man.
Yes.
Appreciate that.
Yep.
My3subs podcast on Twitter, My3subs podcast on Facebook, My3subs soccer pod on Instagram, and you can of course go to my3subspodcast.com to catch any episode. But we're going to link back to our episode with John Huska that we previously had, and we want to thank, of course, Devin Steele for being our guest. And of course, we've played amateur soccer with him for a long time. He's been a huge media personality here in the Memphis area.
Hell of a kit maker, man.
We need to get him to add some drawings into the email that he sent us, to send us kind of an addendum, or I guess an amendment, so that we can put some of the drawings up.
Yeah. I mean, some of those kits are just, jealous.
For a guy that ran like 6 radio stations, how did he have the time to do that?
I don't know.
And all the stations were like top 5, top 6.
I know, top 10.
I guess everything he touched was gold, for sure. All right, go 901 FC and go Nashville SC. We'll see you next week, everybody, on My Three Subs.
There's the whistle. Thank you for listening. Check out more My Three Subs podcast, A Soccer Odyssey.